WGNSTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hey, Irish fans, welcome back to Dome and Domer. I'm Mike Sullivan, along with Mike Coffey of ND Nation. I apologize for the scratchy voice. I was yelling at the TV too much over the weekend, I think. But Ed Sullivan and Mike Brammer couldn't join us, so it's just me, my scratchy voice, and Mike Coffey. And we're going to talk about the ND-Purdue game coming up this Saturday. Mike Coffey, what do you think is the mental state of the team coming off of a tough loss in East Lansing, going into what might be a must-win against Purdue?
You know, I think we could probably call it a must-win. You have a team that hasn't really set the world on fire in Purdue. They've needed all 60 minutes to dispose of some of their Mac snacks over the last couple of weeks. Coming in, playing in South Bend, it's not like the team has to go on the road again. And Matt Painter, who some people were putting on some Heisman lists in the preseason, certainly at least so far has not lived up to billing, up to the stories coming out of West Lafayette last week that Joe Tiller almost benched him during, or at least considered it very strongly, during their last game. So while Notre Dame's confidence can't be said to be sky high right now, I don't know if Purdue is necessarily coming in as a very confident bunch, because they're certainly not living up to the granted rather limited preseason accolades they were getting. On the flip side, you have a Notre Dame team who experienced a euphoric high against Michigan, followed by what had to be a crashing low against Michigan State. Granted, you're on the road. Michigan State is certainly not a pushover, but to get only 16 net yards on the ground and the offensive line and quarterback yielding their first sacks of the year, and just a very, very bad, uneven performance on offense, as opposed to the fantastic performance, at least I thought, of the defense. I mean, the Ringer's 73-yard run near the end of the game notwithstanding, they made him fight for every yard that he got. So I'm wondering, with a Purdue team that doesn't necessarily have a star, is it going to be a case of Purdue has enough balance to keep Notre Dame off balance, or is Purdue not talented enough to overcome whatever shortcomings may exist on the Notre Dame defense?
I think Purdue always has talented guys in the passing game. Painter is more than just a serviceable quarterback. There's times where he's brilliant at times, and maybe consistency has been some of his issues over the years. Purdue always has some solid guys in the receiving core. And defensively, although typically Purdue-Notre Dame games are physical, if you look back at what Notre Dame under Charlie Weiss has done, we've always had good success against Purdue's defense since in the three games that Weiss has coached. So I'm looking at some of the matchups are interesting, but I think it's more than just the physical matchups. I think it's really this game's about the mental approach, the mental psyche of the team. Coming off this, I think it's fair to say we're still a young and developing team. And I think one of the things a young team has to do is learn how to win. And this is going to sound maybe sort of counterintuitive, but learning how to win comes from losing, how they handle losing. I hope that they're stung by the loss to Michigan State. I hope they're hurting a little bit, because it's in how you handle those things that builds the team's chemistry and character and ultimately decides if they know how to win.
Absolutely. I think at this point in the season, they're coming off of the loss to Michigan State, and you can't ask for more distractions on and off the field with the problems with Will Yeatman and Mike Golick after the game on Saturday. This is going to be a true test to see how this team does bounce back and how they do handle adversity, because this is probably as one of the more adverse situations you could ask for. You have a team that got beaten up on the field. They got hacked around off of it. They have to deal with questions as to, are they as good as they showed against Michigan? Are they as bad as they showed against Michigan State? This is an opportunity for this team to set its own identity and to tell the fans and their coaches, on top of that, exactly what are they going to give them the rest of the year. What's going to happen when the chips are down against a Southern Cal or even against like a North Carolina or another tough place to play? How are they going to respond? This is the first chance we'll get to see this team show us those things.
I couldn't agree with you more. This is one of those games that defines you to a certain degree. I think I ask, who are the leaders of this team? I think defensively, You know, you start with Maurice Crum, David Bruton. It's a little easier to find guys that are clear-cut leaders on the defensive side, guys that are maybe a little older, been through it, and perform at a high level. And we all, I think we have more confidence with the defense. Who are the leaders on the offense? And, you know, you point to Clausen because of the position he plays, but as a sophomore, is he ready to lead and set the tone for the offense? Who are those other guys you look to in the offense? I think that's one of the issues, or one of the things that we're going to see with this team. Who are the leaders that emerge on the offense?
Well, that's one of those double-edged swords. When we had the stats against Michigan saying just about all of our points were scored by sophomores, that's good and bad. It's good in that you can look to the future thinking these guys are going to be around. They'll be scoring a lot more points for you. But it's bad in that when you get into a situation like this, coming off a loss against Michigan State, really having to gather yourself and put that emotional effort out there again for Purdue, can a sophomore stand up in the huddle and say, okay, this is what we're going to do? You talked about Clausen. As a quarterback, he's expected to do that. But he can't necessarily put the team on his back yet. As a junior, as a senior, will we see games where Jimmy Clausen just picks up the other 10 guys and wills them to victory? I think we're going to see that. Are we going to see it with him as a sophomore? I think he's going to need the help from his fellow sophomores. I think as a group, they can provide leadership. Individually, it might be tougher, but given their collective talent, their collective importance to this team, if they're working together and on the same page, people like Golden Tate, Jimmy Clausen, Armando Allen, Hughes, all the sophomores banding together can provide that leadership where them individually might not necessarily be able to get it done.
I agree, but ultimately, how do those guys know how to do it collectively or as individuals? I think there has to be that example from the upperclassmen. I think David Grimes is a key guy in terms of providing leadership in the offense. You look at young Turkovich, older linemen, and I don't know, given the lack of success by the offensive line, you wonder if they can provide that leadership when that's the group that's under the most fire. So that's why I think David Grimes really is a key guy for stepping into that role. And I think it's important to note, whatever quote-unquote stepping up and leading means, it had to have happened Monday through Thursday. Saturday's too late. You know, they had to have done it at practice. And if we're looking for a guy who's going to take the team on his back on Saturday, that's a different kind of leadership. I think it's the chemistry and the intensity that they're practicing with. That's where you need the leadership to step forward.
I agree. And you brought up Grimes' name. I think Grimes is going to be of critical importance on Saturday. I don't want to say that I'm assuming he's playing. I haven't heard. He was dressed for last week. There's no reason I think he couldn't see action this week. When you have wideouts like Golden Tate and Michael Floyd out there really occupying the attention of the defense, the opportunity is there for your third weapon. Because most defensive backfields, they can cover one talented guy. If they've really got skill back there, they can cover two talented guys pretty well. You put a third talented guy out there, especially a guy like David Grimes with excellent hands and good savvy and experience, this is a game where he can do a lot of damage because they're going to be spending so much time, where's Tate, where's Floyd? They're not going to have time to wonder where Grimes is. Coupled with the fact that now with Will Yeatman not suiting up, we are painfully thin in the tight end position with Faria and Rudolph, both young guys, not necessarily experienced. There will be opportunities for them as well, but I'm loath to depend on a freshman in that role. To see Grimes in that role, the opportunity to really hit Purdue where they live and hurt them, that's what's going to tell the tale of this game. I think if Grimes can get over 50 yards receiving, one or two touchdowns, Notre Dame will win this game easily.
Yeah, I agree. Grimes is really a key guy, or that third wide receiver being productive, and I assume it will be Grimes. I think another element to the passing game that might really need to be emphasized in the absence of the tight end position being productive might be Armando Allen out of the backfield. I mean, think back to when we had good offenses in 2005-06. Darius Walker caught a lot of balls. He caught over 50 balls, I think, each of those 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. And that's an element of the passing game that I wouldn't be surprised to see us come back to a little bit. So I agree with you completely. The two big guys on the end in Floyd and Tate, they're going to get theirs. But we got to find production out of that third wide receiver and either the tight end or out of the backfield if we're going to have. And you know what? Charlie talks about balance in the offense. There's different kinds of balance, run versus pass, but also balance in the way you spread the ball around the field, which was, again, one of the hallmarks of the Brady Quinn era. He would have completions to six or seven different guys, right? And that's a different type of multi-dimension to the offense that we need to get back to.
No, I certainly agree with that. The more guys you can get involved, the tougher you make it for the Purdue D. The Purdue defense hasn't been setting the world on fire either. They are definitely takeable, I think. Now, whether it's on the ground or through the air, I certainly understand you talked about balance, and I would like to see us getting more production out of the ground game, if only because if you're ahead at the end of the game, you need your running game to be useful because you're not running clock. But right now, it seems like the most success we're getting is spreading the defenses out, forcing them to account for three, four really fast guys coming into their zones and forcing the defense to have to make the right decision. More often than not, as we saw in the second half of Michigan State, we were forcing them into wrong decisions. And I think if they come out from the get-go, I would love to see Charlie line them up four wide, hurry up offense in the first series. Just do that. Get the defense back on its heels. Get them thinking. Get them worried. I remember when Michigan came out that way and seemed to be in the hurry-up offense and really moving, our defense was kind of looking at each other like, what do we do? What do we do? Especially playing at home, this is an opportunity to punch Purdue in the mouth and really take it to them.
I agree with you completely. I'd like to see us come out wide open and be aggressive. You look at the two games, San Diego State and Michigan State, we didn't move the ball with any sort of regularity or effectiveness until we were playing from behind and we opened it up. Now, again, yeah, perfect world. We line up and run between the tackles and smash mouth football, okay? We know that that isn't going to happen. Let's understand who we are. We can put the debate over who we should be aside and understand who we are. And I agree. Let's come out throwing. Let's get ahead. And then maybe we can establish a running game to control the clock, maybe, et cetera, et cetera. We've got them spread out a little bit. And that was the recipe in 05 and 06. That's what worked. And I'd like to see us do that again.
I certainly agree. And the other thing I would like to see us do is for the first time this season, I'd like to see us start getting the quarterback pressures that we need, because Painter is, as you said, he's an excellent quarterback. His performance the last couple of weeks has been kind of up and down, but he's shown in the past that when the chips are down, he can get the job done. This would be a great time for the vaunted John Tenuta blitz defense to start showing some pressure on the quarterback, force Painter into some bad decisions, force him to try to make some throws he doesn't want to make. Get a couple of sacks. We're still sitting at one sack on the season, three games in.
That doesn't bother me that much, the one sack. I thought we had effective pressure against San Diego State and Michigan. I think you look at the pass defense efficiency numbers, they're pretty good. The sacks will come. I think Purdue's style of offense worries me a little bit. They have a lot of different weapons to control pressure from a defense. You know, they're going to run shovel passes and swing passes and screens, wide receiver screens. They do a lot of things to relieve that pressure. So I don't know that we'll see a lot of sacks, but if we just disrupt the timing, that's as good as a sack. An incompletion, it can be as effective as a sack because it gets the defense off the field.
Especially on third down. And I think there's an advantage here that Purdue will now be the third of this type of teams we've seen. San Diego State was pass first. Michigan was pass first, although they did get some good yards on the ground out of McGuffey, out of the spread. But now you have Purdue, who also has a 3-4 wide basketball on grass type. The advantage is we've already played some teams like that. So I'm sure Corwin Brown and John Tenuta are going into this week saying, okay, guys, this is more of the same. It's time to, well, we may see the bend, but don't break. Keep the guys in front of you. I'd rather have them making 7-8 yard completions and having the receiver have to work for those yards than the 15-20 yard completions that usually end up with a score. And now your offense is coming out under even more pressure they were under earlier.
Okay, last couple thoughts here. I think, as always, kicking game will be important. We've got to get some production out of the field goal unit. The rest of the kicking game, I think, has been pretty good. I feel like we're close to breaking some things on the return game. And the coverage has been outstanding, but it's matched up against a great kick return team with Purdue. So I think that will be an interesting matchup part of the game as well.
I agree. I would like to see – what we really haven't seen so far this season is a field goal kicker lining up in what I would call a standard situation, like a fourth and four from the eight-yard line where he's kicking like within 40 yards, mostly straight on. I'd like to see a couple of those, so at least whoever they bring out kicking, I know they said the job might be up for grabs this week, let's let them get a little bit of confidence. Let's try to kick quote-unquote normal field goals and not put them in a situation where all of a sudden, oh, guess what, the entire game's on you right now. Let's try to do some standard special teams so we can see what we have.
Well, that would be great if we can get the snapper to put
that
the
would
ball
be a plus.
Money. I think the two times where we've had very makeable field goals this year, they've been bad snaps, which disrupted everything. So, well, we're going to wrap it up right there. We'll be back on Sunday night or Monday morning with a recap of what hopefully is an Irish victory over Purdue. Until then, you've been listening to Dome and Domer. For Mike Coffey, I'm Mike Sullivan. We'll see you next time.